Hi, and hello again, and good day to you. I'm glad that y'all joined in today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and thank you for joining in and honoring the Lord today so that we can do a Bible study today and find out some things about what the Bible says, about what the truth is about things, because this world has gotten so cockeyed and mixed up, and everybody's marbles have been scrambled where deceit is everywhere. The Bible says in Jeremiah, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. And it is. And if you are a Christian and God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and you're in the body of Christ, then God the Holy Ghost tells every one of us the truth, the same truth. He don't mix it up and tell one thing and one the other. That's the way the world does it and the way the devil does it. He's a master of deceit and he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. The Lord said it's not possible for him to tell the truth. And so he's an all-out liar. And you can expect the wicked and the ones that follow the enemy and follow the devil to be the same. I remember whenever I was out, even being saved and being out in the world and serving the world and serving the devil and serving the flesh, I was a liar. I didn't care nothing about telling a lie. And the fact of the matter is this flesh is so wicked that if even two Christians that are walking with the Lord and are upright as best as they know how, and have there's nothing between them and the Lord as far as they know, and they haven't offended anybody as far as they know and not got it straight, they're just walking with the Lord. If two of us get together and talk more than about 15 minutes without watching it, one of us will tell a lie. And if you ain't careful, a lie will slip right out of your mouth before you even know it. I've had to do that many times where I'd be talking and then all of a sudden something come out of my mouth and God the Holy Ghost will tell me, "Now wait a minute, back up. What'd you just say?" And I go back over that thing. I say, "Well, wait just a minute. I just told a lie. I didn't even mean to tell it. It come out of my mouth. And I didn't even know it. I mean, my mouth lied before my brain caught it." But the Holy Ghost caught it. But anyway, we got to be careful. But the Lord bless you for taking the time to get into these studies and study what God's Word says. And the fact of the matter is it's rewarding, isn't it? Just to be able to sit down with one another and fellowship as close as we can get right now, and fellowship around the Word of God. No other fellowship, no other better fellowship than there could be. Well, we're talking about study number 20, the letter T in the ABCs of Christian growth, and we're talking about tithing and stewardship and what the Bible has to say about it. What's it have to say about the body of Christ? Now, the Bible doesn't talk. God's Word doesn't talk to the unsaved and talk to the worldly about tithing and fellowship because that's not for them. Now, of course, we know that there are a lot of people that donate to charities and donate to nonprofits and stuff like that are unsaved. But as far as the Lord is concerned, as far as His Word is concerned, the Lord addresses tithing and stewardship with the body of Christ and with His sons and daughters. So let's get into it. We've had recap just a little bit. We talked about the principles of stewardship. Do you remember what they are? Number one, everything belongs to God. Number two, stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. And number three, every Christian, everybody that's in the body of Christ is a steward. And number four was, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And that's what you are. You're faithful to get into God's Word, and you didn't have to be here. You disciplined yourself to be here. You chose to be here. You could have chose not to, but you put the Lord and His Word first, and you want to talk about something that impresses the Lord is when somebody puts Him and puts His Word first before everything. It really does, and you know that. We talked about some areas of stewardship and began talking about that topic. And we talked about stewardship of our time. We talked about stewardship of our talents, and that was the last recording that we talked about that. And today we're going to get into stewardship of our testimony, But before we do all that, I know that I left you without the scriptures from the last study on the last recording, stewardship of our talents. So let me give those to you. There weren't very many, but it was anywhere from 15 verses per verse that we read. The first one was Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. And remember, we talked about the talents, the parable of the talents and that the Lord Jesus Christ told, and then the parable of the pounds. And they two very similar truths that the Lord talked about, but not talking to the same people. Okay, one of them was to the Gentiles and one of them was to the Jews, strictly. And that's very important in the Word of God, just to know who the Lord and who the Bible is talking to. Is it talking to you? All the Bible is for you, but all the Bible is not to you, you see. It's all good and it's all edible and it's all consuming, and the Lord put it all down for us and put it all between them covers, and it all blends together perfectly. But when you're in a context, when you I heard a man say one time that I'm gonna mess it up. You better let me get it all in my head before I try to say it. The second verse is Philippians 4. Verse 13. Another verse that we used last week and looked into was 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 through 27. And I think that was it. So getting started into today, let's talk about stewardship of our testimony. The stewardship of our testimony. Now, what is a testimony? Well, it's the stand that you take for the Lord. It's what you testify to be so in your life. And your testimony is the fruit of what you claim, If you say that you're a Christian, then you ought to be bearing fruit as a Christian. If you say that you're a farmer, you ought to be bearing fruit as a farmer. You say that you're a bank robber, but your testimony is the fruit of what you claim to be and what you claim to live and what you claim is the truth in your life and what you claim to believe. Your testimony is the fruit of it. People look at your testimony. Your testimony is like a shining light that shines into the world, and they look at that light, and it attracts people, and when they look at it, they see something. What do they see? That's your testimony. Your testimony is what appears to others, and the Bible says, as far as the stewardship of our testimony, and let's begin this, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Lord said, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So you see the truths in that verse about that's talking about a testimony, talking about your testimony. Your testimony is to be blameless. It's to be harmless. And we are the sons of God. And it says also that our testimony is to be without rebuke. In other words, and sometimes it is, but that's to be the exception to the rule. We are to live harmless. Be harmless, and we are to be blameless, sons of God. And when you're living and you're following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ and living by His Word and saturating yourself with God's Word, God the Holy Ghost will lead you to be blameless. He will put it in your mind and cause you to think and cause you to desire to be blameless. Not fake, blameless. And be harmless. He'll put it in there for you to love everybody, but The Bible says love your enemies, but then when you go on into that, it tells you how to love them. By giving them some food when they're hungry, give them some water when they... It didn't tell you to love their evil and love their wickedness. It don't say that. The world says that. For us to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Now, the stewardship of our testimony, the Bible said there in Philippians chapter 2:15, we are to shine as what? As lights in the world. Another place in the Scripture, the Lord said that you don't light a candle and put it up under a bed and hide it. The purpose of lighting a candle is to put it up on the shelf up there, up high, where the light can shine out and everybody can see it. The whole purpose of that is to shine. Jesus said that He was the light of the world. And who dwells in us? Jesus Christ's Spirit dwells in us, God the Holy Ghost, if you're born again. So we are to let that light shine to people, to be unashamed. Your testimony should be without shame. The Bible says, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed, in Romans. But blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, one thing that a Christian should not be accused of or rebuked of, and it does happen because we deal with the flesh, and it's a constant battle, isn't it? Every single day you have to stay on top of that flesh because it wants to run to the world and be part of the world. So you have to keep your foot on the flesh's neck and tell him, you don't get to talk today. You just stay put right there. You don't get to have any control today and walk in the Spirit the way the Lord said. Stewardship of our testimony, we are to shine as lights in the world. When people look at us, they should see the Lord Jesus Christ. They should see the things of God and see the things of the Word of God and see the truth in action. And not as a theatrical thing, and not as putting on a show and walking around and being all religious and all this, but a sincere and truthful life, a life where you're living for the Lord in your heart and from your heart first, and you have a broken and contrite spirit. You're yielded to God the Holy Ghost and ready to take any kind of orders from Him that He might want to give to you, and submitting yourself unto Him. That should be the beginning of your testimony. And then if you have that sort of testimony from your heart to yourself, you will have a light shining out of you to where people will see that. It's got to stem from your heart. It's got to start from the heart. A fire and a light doesn't shine unless there's some kind of source of it. And if you back it all the way up to the source, it's got to have something to ignite it and to make it shine, to give it the light. And when you back it all the way up, that's God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is the light. The Bible says also, concerning the stewardship of our testimony, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 and 16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, I said a bed. You don't want to put it under a bed. And put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your testimony is what tells the story to the world about who God is. Now, there's some people out there that ought to throw a blanket over the light that they shine, having to do with telling about who God is. We are to suffer shame for the Lord, but we are to never be ashamed of the Lord. And we should never have to be ashamed of our testimony in front of a wicked and ungodly world because we were misbehaving and our testimony was not what it should have been. It's like the father, your father, and the children. The children, 90% of a children of a child obeying and behaving himself, a child that's in a family that cares about him, the fathers and such, they respect their father so much that when they go out into the world, they behave, that 90% of their behavior has to do, if it's a good father, has to do with the father and them shining a light of their father. You see, a child's behavior is the testimony of the mother and father. The father and the mother. And most of the time, in this world today, it's not like that. But that's what the Bible says it should be. A father is to nurture and raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when that child goes out into the world, his testimony and his behavior and the things that he thinks and does and walks and talks and everything else about him, his testimony concerning his family and his parents reveals what the father is. The Bible says one of the best verses in the scripture having to do, all of them are beautiful, but one of the best verses in the scripture having to do with testimony and the stewardship of your testimony and taking care of your testimony is that the Lord has told us, give us permission to let our light shine. And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's another thing that's involved in your testimony is works. Not works as far as getting saved. You're already saved. You can't get out of the family of God if you've been born again. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and repented and asked the Lord to save you, He has saved you and your name's written in the book of life. And in this dispensation, you have the promise of the Lord in the gospel of the grace of God that He will never cast you out. You cannot lose your salvation. And we're very fortunate to have had the opportunity to be in this period of time where the Lord's given salvation out freely, because it's not like that in other times. But moving on from that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is talking about that you're so close to the Lord and you care and take care of your testimony so well that you wouldn't want to. The Bible says that we might do the things that are pleasing in His sight. A Christian is to be walking around and living his life in this world and in this body in such a manner that you care about what people think about God. First, the first thing that we care about is our heart condition. Are you really who you say you are? And when it starts in the heart, it'll come out as light and people will be able to see it. And it will do one of two things having to do with what people think and what you claim your Heavenly Father is like. There's some people around here that claim in the world that claim to be Christians. Their God is not the same God that I serve and not the same God of that Bible. And how do you know that? By their testimony, by what they claim, and everything having to do with their testimony. The Bible says that they may see your good works. We are to look at each one another's works. We are to see if people are living a good testimony before our Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, the church is supposed to watch out on one another, that it even disciplines one another so that the Lord's reputation and the Lord's honor is preserved by our testimony. It's very important, your testimony, not only for you, but what it says about the Lord. Christian ought not be found sitting in a stinking bar room drinking beer with a bunch of heathen, cussing, nasty, joke-telling fellas. You shouldn't be there. That's not the way your Lord is. And that's not where your testimony is supposed to speak about the Lord. You women ain't supposed to be together gabbing and backbiting and two-faced on a two-faced book and all that kind of garbage. And be on there talking about everybody and anybody and saying the things that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth. And nowadays your mouth ends at your fingers on that Facebook and on all that them talking things on that computer. And that don't give you no reason to be talking like that. You have a testimony. If you're on that Facebook and you've got some kind of thing on there where people are listening to you and what you say, your words are just as valid and just as important when you type them with them fingers and put them out there before the world. And when people look at you and look at the word, things that you say and the thing, your behavior, and look at what you claim to be and what you claim to be living and waiting on your Lord to get here, and all the hope that we have and the wonderful things about the Lord and what the Lord did for us, we should be careful. Because what's it make you think when you find somebody that that you thought that you could trust and confide in, and they betray you, and they, you know what I'm saying? What do you think it makes the Lord feel like whenever we're careless with our testimony having to do with that? Now, wait a minute. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord. We're talking about your Savior. We're not talking about a sinner. We're talking about a holy, righteous, perfect God that had mercy on us and gave His Son and died for us and went through all He went through just so that He could have us in His company. Our testimony. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, we read there about being lights in the world. So, being a good steward involves what? Well, according to that verse right there in Matthew, it says that we are the light of the world. We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and the light of the gospel of the grace of God shining out of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is shining out of us. And whether you try or make an effort for it or not, the Bible said, let your light so shine. In other words, there's an effort, there's a work to it. I mean, you want people to see it. You want people to see it. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But you don't really have that much time or have that much effort, can have that much effort in a testimony for the Lord if you're trying to hide the Lord from people because you're out there doing some naughty things that you ought not be doing that you know that the Lord would not appreciate you showing the world that you're involved in. That's what the Lord's talking about. If you love the Lord, you'll be able to present a testimony of light to the world because you're not a fake. You indeed have God dwelling in you. This thing about God and Jesus Christ is not fake, folks. God is real. And Jesus Christ is real. And His words live. Well, no matter what the world says. The world is blind and without God in the world. And without hope. And that's why they're walking around in darkness. The Bible says they're children of darkness. And the Lord says at the same time that you're not the children of darkness, you're children of light. Says for us, as we're in this world and it's dark and they see you pass by, they see a light go by. And you know in the dark, when it's real dark outside or something like that, you get out there and you look up in the sky at the second heaven where space and the stars and the moon and the sun are out there, and it's just black, black as it can be up there, and you see those stars just as brilliant as they are shining up there, and all that darkness, and you don't see any of the darkness or what's in the darkness. You see the light. You see the stars shine. Same thing in a dark, dark world. We're talking about spiritual light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel, and the light of people that love, genuinely love, a God that's alive and that has died for all men. And not only that, that's not all. Stewardship of our testimony in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Listen to this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Your testimony is not only to be a light, and it's not only to be respectable, and not only to be without rebuke, that nobody can point a finger at you and say that your testimony is... Now, we make mistakes, and we do sin. We are sinners, but doctrinally, we are saints that sin. You're not a sinner anymore once you've been born again, not in the Lord's eyes. You are a saint that sins, and the Lord deals with that in His way as far as sons and daughters. But the Bible said to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. In other words, your testimony, the light that's in you and that is illuminating out of you, is shining so that it provokes people to want to find out what it is. What it is. It said to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Remember, we talked about where that starts, in your heart. Your heart has to be pure. You've got to have dealt with the Lord about the things in your heart. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I picture my heart as kind of like walking a dog. But not, you say, that's nutty. Well, just listen. You know how you get a big dog, or you've seen somebody with a big dog, a big strong dog, and put him on a leash, and you're standing about 10 feet behind him, and you're trying to keep him at bay, and he's one of these dogs that's just got all the enthusiasm in the world, and he sees something, he wants to run over and look at it. You're walking down the road, and your dog's there, and all of a sudden, it's all you can do to hold him back. You're having to lean back, and the rope's tight on him all the time, because he's pulling against you all the time. And then all of a sudden he sees something over in the left side of the ditch, and he takes off to the left side of the ditch, and you have to snatch him back. And then later on he sees something in the right side of the ditch, and he's pulling over there all the time. And it wears you out because he's always pulling in one direction or another. He won't leave you alone and just walk with you and just be there with you. He's always pulling and tugging and jerking and everything. That's the way your heart is. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your heart will lead you off in the ditch in a second. It'll tell you a lie in a second. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you don't stay on top of what your heart has in it and what is allowed for it to think and to feel and to know and to not know, if you don't stay on top of that heart, it'll deceive you. You're the one that decides what your heart is and what's in your heart and what comes out of your heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then you say, well, Lord, I can't be blamable for my heart. Oh, yes, you can, because the Lord said, keep thy heart with all diligence. And just like that dog up there, you holding on that rope and trying to keep him back and keep him back and keep him back. That's the way you have to do your heart. You see all these broken-hearted little young 15, 16, 17-year-old girls that are just crying their eyes out because their boyfriend just dumped them and their little old heart got broken. Your heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You keep that heart, and your testimony begins in your heart, because your testimony is evidence of purity, evidence of what you really, really, really are. A lot of people say a lot of things about what they are and are real proud and boastful and matter-of-fact about it. But if you was a fly on the wall behind their doors in their house, it might be a whole different story. And their testimony might be a big, fat lie. They ain't nothing but a fake and theatrical play when they leave their front door and go out into the world. And that's what most people in the world are today, is a bunch of fakes. Because they don't keep their heart and they don't really care about their heart. They let their heart go from place to place and from here to there and just whatever, whatever. But when it comes to the Lord and it comes to the children of God, whole different scenario. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, and God helps us keep our hearts. And one thing that you're doing right now is probably the best antidote for your heart is putting the Word of God in your mind and in your heart, because it purifies your heart. It makes you real, and you're being conformed into the image of Christ. Your language is cleaning up. Your heart don't have all that cussing. I mean, I remember one time when I was standing in front of my mama, and I was living a wicked life right about that time. And I was standing in front of my mother, and she came up to me, and I started to say something. And before my brain could stop it, I was talking to her, and something come out of my mouth, and my hand, my right hand, came up and slapped me in the mouth and held my mouth. And it did it before my brain knew what I said. My hand knew better than my brain. Well, that stuff that come out of my mouth was from my heart, because the Lord said that that which proceedeth out of the mouth comes from the heart. So see, my heart was so wicked that my brain couldn't control it before my hand slapped myself in the mouth. That's pretty stinking bad. We're not to be like that. We're to be in control and keeping with all diligence our heart, because that's where our testimony begins. Your testimony begins in your heart. I love the Lord and the way He does things and His truth, because you can't outsmart the Lord. And people that do want to outsmart the Lord are a bunch of fakes anyway. I don't want to outsmart the Lord. I want to be like the Lord. Don't you? If you didn't, you wouldn't be doing this right now. I want to be like the Lord. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to do right. I want to be like Him. I want to be with Him. And the more you get to know the Lord, and the more you get to know the Lord's ways, and you get to know who He is, and that He has a sense of humor, and that He's a serious Lord, and that He is holy, and that He's righteous, and He's very merciful and very kind. When you get to know Him and start really knowing Him and believing in Him and believing that He is a person, that He is there, then He reveals Himself to you more. And you do that by the Word. Now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. It's beautiful. And some of you are smiling out there because you know I'm telling you the truth. Because you got a relationship with the Lord. And if all of you out there are brand new Christians, don't you think that we're bragging about something? Well, we are bragging. Or rejoicing, that is, that you're left out, because you're not. You just keep on doing what you're doing right now, and you'll fall right in. Just stay in that Word. Don't let anybody or anything take that Bible away from you. And don't let anybody stop you from reading it anytime, anyhow, any way, for the rest of your life in that body. And it'll keep you. That's how we keep our thinking. And our thinking and our hearts are the beginning of our testimony. And the Bible says to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, you are scared of God. You fear Him, but you fear Him not in a skittish, stupid fight or flight way. You fear Him as in you don't want to sin against Him. These people talking about reverential respect. No, fear means fear. I didn't fear my daddy because I reverenced him. I do respect my father, and I reverentially feared him. I feared him tearing my hind end up with that belt for not going by his rules. And I feared sinning against him. And pretty soon when you live with, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't have anything that's worth having unless you fear God first. And if you look around you in this world, that's the first thing that's missing in all society, everywhere, is fearing God. One fella talking about standing in a crowd and said, "I don't believe in God and God ain't real and blabbity blabbity blab." He said, "Okay, God, I give you 3 minutes to kill me. If you're real, kill me in 3 minutes." And 2 minutes went by and 30 seconds was left, and then it counted down all the way, and he says, "See there? I told you there wasn't no God. He didn't kill me." About that time, some guy come in there, and I mean just bulldozed him. Just smeared him all in the ground, just like a football player, and just smeared him in the ground. And when he got up to get off of him, he said, "God said he was busy and wanted me to take care of this for him." So, anyway, the Lord doesn't come down to fools' levels. The Lord's not going to argue with fools. The Lord said, He tells us that not answer fools He said, answer a fool to the way that we should answer a fool. I can't remember the scripture right now, but that we're not to answer fools according to what they want to argue about. You answer fools with the truth. With the truth. Well, we're getting off of this, I'm getting off the subject just a little bit, but it kind of blends in there, doesn't it? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that we're to shine as lights in the world. You're supposed to be a proper light, a light that's pure, a light that can be seen clearly, a light that's attractive, a light that's magnetic. It draws people to it. And you say, well, what's this all about, a testimony anyway? Well, for several reasons. Number one is because of who God is. Number two, it's because there's a lot of gods in the world. Muhammad said he was a god. He said he served a god. He said he served Allah. But Allah's not a god. Allah means the God. It don't even claim to be a god. Allah could be any god. It means the God. And if you study the Quran and study some of the stuff that they believe, you'll find out some strange things about the God. They don't even serve God. But it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God and Father of Jesus Christ. It says we're to shine as lights in the world because of who God is, and because of who God is not, we should have a testimony. Because there's a lot of people think in this world that it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, it's okay to do this, and that same old argument. Well, what, and the world's moving to this relativistic, everything is relative. You do what you want to do, I do what I want to do, and we're all right, and you're all right, and I'm all right, and we're da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not the way it is. The Lord has polarities in everything. The north and the south, the east and the west, black and white, up and down, left or right. Polarities. Right or wrong, good or bad, bitter or sweet. And the Lord said, cursed is the man that puts darkness for light. You call light, you call darkness light. And that's what the world's doing right now. They call it relativity. This new age, this new world order, where everybody can do anything that they want to do, and you don't judge one another, and it just turns right on into a big soup pool of Sodom. And that's what it's doing, and that's where it's headed. But that's not what a child of God ought to be involved in. You're to have a testimony. A testimony for what? A testimony of a light that can clearly be seen and clearly be understood. And be attractive. There's only two reactions to a light, to a bright light that's shining. The Bible said, let your light so shine. In other words, you turn up the lumens on it. It's just bright as it can be to the world. There's no tarnish in that light at all. Nothing stopping that light from going in any direction. And when the world looks at it, one of two things is going to happen. And you do one of two things when somebody shines a bright flashlight in your eyes. You either go toward it because you're in darkness, or either you put your hand up and try to keep the light out and try to hide from the light. One of two things. The stewardship of our testimony, brothers and sisters, very important and should be important to you. This Christianity, this theatrical Christianity that's in the world today is just as fake as if as an unsaved man that's living in darkness in the world and has deceived and has no idea or no desire to have a testimony of it. The world wants to have a reputation. They don't want to have testimony. They want to have reputation. But we are to have a testimony that shines in this dark world, and to be without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The Bible says we are to be ready always to give an answer. Somebody walks up and asks you a question about Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. This place I moved in that I'm living in right now, there was a fellow that lived right next door on the other side of the wall over there. It was kind of like an apartment, two apartments butted up against one another. And he lived over there. And when I moved in, I met him and just being myself. I don't want to sound braggadocious or whatever it is, but I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I put me a scripture sign outside on the telephone pole out there and started shining like a light, like you're supposed to. And living an honest and pure and upright life before the Lord from my heart first. I lived the same way inside my house with my doors and windows and curtains and everything closed as I do outside in the middle of everybody else. The same way. I ain't got a change to go outside. Do you? You shouldn't. If you got a testimony, you don't have to change, because your testimony starts in your heart. You see. But anyway, this fellow was a pretty bad drinker, and he was caught up in the world. Nice guy. I mean, nice guy to talk to, but you could tell he's suffering. Just suffering with sin that he's involved in, and having to do with all that. And then all of a sudden I hear a knock on the door, And I walk over the door and I open it up and he's standing there and he holds his hands out to his side, both hands, the left one out on the left and the right one out. And he said, listen, he said, I need something. And I don't know what it is. He said, do you know God? Can you tell me where God, can you tell me about God? And I said, he said, I need something. And I said, sure can. Come on in. And he walked in and come in there. I talked with him, showed him the gospel of the Lord. And he bowed his knee right there on my recliner and I right beside him. And he asked the Lord to save him. And he went back home, and next day he came by, or next couple days he came by. He happened to walk up, and my washing machine's outside right in front of my door there, and people come there to wash. He come up out there, and I happened to open the door and see him there, and he was looking at me, and I said, well, are you saved? And boy, you could see a light shining out of him. He just reared back. He didn't know what to say because he's still a babe in Christ. But he reared back and boy, he started shining. And you could see that light coming off of him. Yeah. But the Bible says that to where we shine as lights in the world. If I'd have been living, and like I said, I'm not being braggadocious, I'm telling the truth, and you could tell the truth about why things that have happened in your life, the Lord's not going to use a son or a daughter that's out there wallowing around in a stinking hog pen with all the hogs. He wants somebody, you got to get somebody out, you got to get them out of the hog pen before they can be cleaned up. And the Lord's not going to, you're not shining if you live in a hog pen because you're covered with mess. You're covered with a bunch of mess. And you'd be cleaned up. And that's the way you people want to live because you wouldn't be studying God's Word if you didn't want the truth. And if you didn't want to be clean, if you didn't want to walk before your Lord pleasing unto Him. But just an example, I'm not ashamed of being a light, and I know you're not either. I want to be a light, and I want them to come and ask me of a hope, because I'm not ashamed to tell them what the Lord done for me over in Germany and saved me in 1980. He saved me over there. I didn't have nothing to do with it. He did it, and he's been with me ever since for 40 plus years. I've been a horse's behind a whole bunch of times and had to go through a couple classes with him, the same classes, but he's a faithful father, and he carries a pretty thick belt, and he'll do some things that are so kind for you that it'll just break your heart because you're so undeserving, and he'll do it at the least deserving time. I mean, God is very kind. He has been very, very kind to me. He's done some things for me that I remind myself and I remind him that I'm devoted to him and I respect him. My allegiance is to him, not only because I love him and I've learned more about him and he's been patient with me, but because of some of the things he's done for me. He's done some things that are so very kind for me that I would have never imagined anybody would do for me at the worst times in my life. And he didn't have to. And I'm going to be kind back to him. And so will you. And that's the reason we should. But our testimony is very important when it comes to stewardship. Stewardship, remember, is handling the affairs of another. And you're handling the affairs of your testimony. And you are to, and remember, your heart's wicked, and that's where it starts. Your testimony starts in your person, in your heart, and who you really, really, really are. That's why it says for us to get in God's Word and get God's Word in our heart and learn the Word of God, and it'll keep our hearts straight and keep it pleasing to the Lord. Amen? But the stewardship of our testimony. Now, let me give you the scriptures on this. Next, there were only three, I think. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And there are many, many more concerning our testimony. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then tells us how. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove to who? Prove to those that are watching. And prove to yourself. And prove to the Lord that you mean business. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did I just whistle? I think I did. But anyway, praise the Lord, huh? Glory to God. Glory to God. God is real. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is real, and He's right where He says He is. He's right there at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come and get us. And that's the next thing to happen. Let Him find us faithful and with a good testimony and waiting. Amen? The stewardship of our testimony. All right, we'll stop right there. And next recording, we're going to talk about the stewardship of our treasure. The stewardship of our treasure. You better be here. Don't you skip out on that one. You just come on in and find out what the stewardship of our treasure is. And, of course, we know what treasure is. Well, the Bible says where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. So there we are getting back to the heart. That heart is something, ain't it? That heart is something. But that's what the world talks about all the time. When the world talks about love and they talk about devotion and they talk about faithfulness and they talk about marriage and they talk about this and that, they talk about heart, the heart. They're not stupid. They know about the heart, too. The only thing is they don't have no truth. Because the Bible says truth is one of the first things, and then honesty, and then justice, and then purity, and then loveliness, and then good report. All right, well, you have a wonderful evening, or day, or whatever it is that you're having, and I want to thank you for joining in again, brothers and sisters. I love you with Christ's love. And praise the Lord that God give us His word that we could have here, huh? Oh, what it would be like if we didn't. It'd be terrible. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. The Lord's coming. Let Him find us waiting. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Nothing hard about the Scriptures today, was there? It's perfect. You have a wonderful evening. Brother Thurman, bye-bye.